you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. You know, when you sing this song, you're not singing it to Him and expect Him not to act. Back in the late 70s, that song was sang with every single meeting that we had, practically. Because that was our cry. Melt me. Mold me. Use me. We never cried, God, get me out of here so I can escape the pain. We never cried out, God, you gotta just whisk me out of here because it's gonna get too hot in the kitchen. Not once did we ever sing a song to get me out of my problem. We constantly sang to the Lord to melt and mold and fashion us into the image of the Most High. That's what we sang. We sang with a purpose and with a dedication. God, you've got to change me. God, you've got to use me. You've got to melt everything in me that's not of you. And you know where he started? With my brain. My biggest headache in my Christian walk was this block of wood. And I call it wood because it was hardwood. Stubborn. Wanted to do its own way, wanted to do its own thing, and thinking through everything, trying to figure out God. Anybody of you relate to where I'm coming from? Thank you. You know what? You'll never get there. Because you're only looking to the Lord to bring you into an education. And the Holy Spirit, 2.5 weeks ago, said to me, why does everybody want to educate? And the more education you want, the more education you get, the more you have another quest for another level. And you buy another book. And you get another CD. Or another tape. More education. And the more education you get, the dumber you seem to believe that you really are. And it's the truth. The more you put in, the more you realize you ain't got it. What's wrong with the picture? You know what's wrong with the picture? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're doing what I did. Let's say this is a wonderful tree. Okay? Look at it. Say, Lord Jesus. Let's make that post right now. Or this pillar. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what I did for years? Oh my, could you please educate me on this, Lord? I don't know what the heck you're doing, so educate me. Give me a book, give me a word, give me a scripture, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And guess what? He did. Because he respected my decision. Where was I kneeling? Right next to Eve and Adam and all of the rest of the fleshy people that live in this earth. Have you been kneeling there with me? Have you been kneeling there with me? So Romans 6:16 says, to whom you bow to,
become a slave.
Try again. To whom? So have you been kneeling with me at this tree of knowledge of good and of evil? Genesis. You don't have to go anywhere else. Right at the beginning is where the failure came. And what are we doing? We're doing the same cotton picking thing every single morning. We got to get another piece of education. And if it's not the TV, it's the radio, it's the news, it's not Him. And that's where we fail. Anybody there with me, or am I all alone? You're with me, huh? So you take the God-given gifts that He gives you and you encourage. Hear me. encourage by buying another book. We encourage by supporting another ministry that says, oh, come on, now you got an education and you need another deeper education and you keep educating, and guess what? You keep failing and falling short. Where's the problem? Where's the problem? Is it in your heart? Or is it up here? Where's your problem?
In your mind.
In your mind. Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up your soul. The soulish believer gets what? The soulish carnal believer gets what? He gets the privilege of dying. How good are you at crucifying the head? In my case, I have a problem with it. But I'm asking God, open my eyes, open my ears, open my spirit. And I don't mean the natural eyes, and I don't mean the natural ears. I mean the spiritual eyes, the spiritual ears, so that I can develop my spiritual man. And what Gino was pounding into me constantly, can't get out of your head. So what am I telling you now? Get out of your head. You know, this head constantly wants all this knowledge, and then you worship the knowledge. Come on, anybody else's hand go up? You worship the knowledge. Where are you? Which tree are you at? How much time does it take to say, okay, Papa, I need a revelation today. Would you reveal what you want? You know, I said to the Lord, what do you want this morning? And he said, pounce on the reality of revelation versus information. That's the word he gave me before the feast. Revelation versus, information. The more you get information, the more you go onto that merry-go-round, and you're like those little hamsters going around in a circle. And boy, is it wonderful. You get very tired. And then you have a reasonable night's sleep and you start all over the next day. Yes or no? I know I'm preaching, by the way. So I'm trying to let you know, I want you to change. Because you know what? Adam and Eve continued. God sent angels not to let anybody come in here. Why? Because they would have died in that space of worshiping that tree. And that tree is really Satan. Not very pretty, but it's the truth. He is so good at selling you and me a bill of goods that if I get the right education and if I have the right degrees, I'm not picking on you, I'm telling you the truth. If you have all the right degrees, okay, you'll get a better job. You'll have satisfaction. Yes, you will. You'll have all this satisfaction in the world, and you'll have a money, solved situation. You'll have a good wallet. But will you have salvation? Will you be at peace in your heart? No. You're going to be on that treadmill, working and pushing, making a living. Have a party. Go ahead. Jesus was, quite educated. His father, natural, Joseph, was a carpenter. Have you ever known a father that doesn't teach his son what he knows? So I'm positive Jesus was a very good carpenter. But then at 30, he walked away from it. He retired. Look at your neighbor. Say, are you 30 in the spirit? Or are you 30 in the natural? Either one, it doesn't matter. When Papa says retire, retire.
You need to refire.
But you got to retire before you can refire. Because if you're still on that fiery old pattern, you're going to work yourself to death. trying to make a buck. And you know what? You're going to be constantly crying out to God, why aren't you blessing me? Now I'm going to take you back to 1979. In 77, the Holy Ghost came into my life and literally flipped me over like a pancake. We started a prayer group in Three Rivers. It lasted 13 years. God filled many with the Holy Ghost. He delivered many, and he sealed and healed many with the anointing of oil. When the oil was being delivered last night, it was reminding me of the excitement of the little bottle of oils that were given out for the first time to the saints. And I said, okay, Lord. This morning on my computer, there was an email from the Elijah list, and there's a gentleman that had a vision back in December 31st, right? Want to educate them? Come on, Dale, educate them. It's your turn for a minute. What happened to this man?
I don't know how many of you know Paul King Davis.
Yes.
Hi. In 1977, he was born again in a Pentecostal experience, but all of the background that he had lived in, which I could relate to, was very painful and hurt, and it caused him not to walk into what God had ordained for him, so he went this way and went into the business world. Thankfully, the Lord flipped him over it and told him on December 31st that God knew before he was born that he was going to do that, and that he had already made a provision for him to come back to his destiny. And he brought before him, actually met the people that he knew in 1977, and even the woman who had led him to the Lord, and that's when he knew that the provision had already been made, and he had turned around and was walking in his destiny. And what he discovered was that when he turned around and walked it was more difficult. So the Lord took him to the book of Jonah and said he had a revelation from the book of Jonah that he always thought the book of Jonah was God's discipline. He said, no, it was God's provision. That God knew before Jonah was born that Jonah was going to do this, and that God already provided a way for Jonah to come back into his destiny. And he felt that that big fish could very well have just been created by God for that one moment in time, because there's no record of any fish being like that. But as a result, Jonah had an awesome testimony of, hey, this is what God did. This is the way he provided for me to come back to my destiny. And I was very excited about this because I felt that for a long time I wasn't walking where I was supposed to walk. That I kind of held back in fear and, well, you name it. And that God was saying, this is your second chance. Go for it. So any of you that are feeling that way, step out in it. Go into your destiny. God's already provided.
How many feel that way right now? You may be seated. I want you to come with me on a short journey of obedience. And I'm not advertising this as Kim did it right. Please. I just want you to know I'm 39 years old. It's 1979. You can add the numbers. It tells you how old I am. And the Holy Spirit in this July, I know it was in the month of July, said to me, you're going to start preparing because I'm going to have you sell this business. I had been in the furniture business for quite a few years. My wife and I were together. It was wonderful. We were doing well. And the Lord said, just get ready. It's going to happen. I didn't say this to anybody. Didn't advertise it. It wasn't anybody's business. It was He had given it to me, because even when we communicated with God back in the 60s about purchasing this with my dad, it was really a stretch of faith. God had sustained us, and we brought up our family in this kind of an atmosphere. Now, No logical person at 39 starts discussing how he's going to retire. No logical person. I can tell you right now, I wasn't logical. By the time that January of 1980, it confirmed again. I heard it again. Same message. And I said to the Lord, I don't know. When do I say anything? And I heard nothing. Not yet. Just keep praying that my plan unfolds. Let your will be done, Lord, was basically my prayer. Let your will, not my will, your will. By 1981 in January. The Lord had me speak to my wife, and I did. And most of you have heard this, so I'm not going to repeat all of it. The bottom line is, the Holy Spirit provided a buyer. And excuse me, that's 1980, not 1981. 1980. So it was a 6 month preparation on my own. And by July of 80, the Lord had provided a letter in the mail that somebody was interested in buying the place. We were ready to advertise at over $1,600 for one ad in the Wall Street Journal. The ad was already drawn up. But the letter came before the ad went out. Now, nobody in my family knew this except for me, my wife, and my oldest son. It's the only people that knew. In August, my son, the oldest one, was the confirming voice. He told me the exact number that this man would provide. And I did get a letter in the mail within 3 days. And it was with the offer to buy the building with the exact numbers my son had given. It was a number that I kind of knew in my heart. But you know, you always like confirmation. Amen? Amen. So, it took until June of 81 where the final papers were signed. Now I'm out of work. I'm 41 years old. I have nothing to do except follow Jesus. Day after day, morning after morning, sat and waited for his instructions. Sometimes he would provide a job, sometimes not. I got laughed at, got ridiculed by the ones I love the most. Why? Because I was going by revelation and not education. There was nothing logical about what I was doing. How my wife put up with me, I don't know. I believe God poured grace into her so that she could continue. And we continued following day after day, week after week, year after year. Then in 1985, a door opened. And by revelation, that I was to work at Grace Church of Christ. I had been actually studying from 1981, in September, I started to study under the assistant pastor at Grace, which was quite a gift. Roby Moore was my instructor. He would provide every single 2 weeks. We connected, and my next assignment or learning thing that needed to be done. The end result was God would have his way with me. And I worked there 17 years, or 18 years. Numbers don't count. My first paycheck when I started in 1985 was $50 a month. It didn't even pay for the gas. So how did you do it? I obeyed the Lord. You can do this. You can do this. You can obey the Lord. And he provided every single month. Sometimes the well dried up, and in fact, I cried out to God one time because in the early 90s, the well, one well, was drying up. And didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. And you know what God did? He used a teenager. And every week, that teenager would come to my back door and hand me a little bit of money. And that's how I made ends meet. And God sovereignly brought him every single week, like clockwork. And I was able to make ends meet. Are you hearing what revelation can do? Instead of your cotton-picking brain? Am I telling you I'm still at that tree? I visit once in a while that tree. I like education. I like to know. I'm a nosy person. I always have been. I'm inquisitive. I want to know everything yesterday. I want to know everything yesterday. That way there it's more comfortable for today. But that's all part of your soul. That's why a pastor was in my life. He would bounce on me. And, you know, sometimes God would just dramatically give me information that was revelatory. It didn't come from the brain. It came from the Spirit of God Himself. And I would say, oh my God, this is so far-fetched. And I've got a picture in my mind to show you the intensity of this test. And the test did not go down in stature. It increased. The reason I'm telling you it increased is because I believe what he's trying to teach you today is not to look for a way out or an escape route. Look for a way to be rebuilt. Mold me, Lord. Fashion me in your image. That's your quest. One particular day, we used to have a communion service every single Monday at Grace. And on this particular Monday, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is the last time that Gino's going to consecrate the elements. And I heard, write it down. Now, he had been doing this every single week. He would come to the service. Very rarely would he be missing. I would say if he missed once every 3 months, that was it. And yes, somebody was to take his place. That particular day, I wrote this down, and as I'm writing it down, my brain is saying, this is so dumb. This is so dumb. So, and the reason I'm telling you is because I saw a vision, so I want to obey the vision. Right now I saw the vision, so I'm not running away from the vision. Month after month after month, he showed up on Friday night for the service. His body was deteriorating. His body, I knew, was under tremendous pressure. He was a very proud man. He would hide the wheelchair and the walker in the back room and literally stand next to the altar, or rather go up the two side steps and sit next to the organ. And that meant that he did maybe two or three steps on his own. Sat and ran the service from that position. Periodically he would stand, if he was up to it, behind the pulpit and give the message. But a great deal of the time he just sat. How many know you can test God? A year and a half, at least, went by. And every single service that he showed up, that word of knowledge came back into my head. Well, maybe today he'll consecrate the elements, because that was one of his joys. Holy Communion was such a gift to him. Well, here we are in the fall. We're celebrating the feast of Tabernacles, and those of you who were there, we took the altar from down the bottom, and we brought it up on the platform. And we put some steps so that people could come up. And the altar was all decorated. It was absolutely gorgeous. The church was dedicated and rededicated by the people of the church. Many gifts came in, and I mean, there was unbelievable amount of beautiful plants and gorgeous flowers from the fall. It was actually a stunning sight to see. Okay, and I'm not advertising this because of what we did. I'm trying to tell you what God was trying to do. So this is the first Friday night, and I asked him if he would release a message that night, and I'll never forget. The message was, how many people are you bringing in your booth? How many remember that? Okay. So at least now you know that I'm not pulling somebody's leg. There's three confirmations right now. He gave such a beautiful message about, you know, how many people you carry in your heart. How many family members that don't know Jesus that you carry because you're bringing them to church every time you go to church. And even if they're stubborn and doing stupid things, you bring them to church with you because of your love for them and your intercession. So he gave the message from the bench. Now from the bench, I'm not exaggerating, he was sitting, I would say, about here on that bench, and the altar was just as close as this, so he could have gone like so and held on to the altar and dedicated the elements. My brain said, time to test the waters. If I was wrong a year and a half ago, I was wrong. If I failed you, Lord, so I failed you. So Mom was sitting with me in the front pew, and I whispered to Mom, I said, Mom, pray in the Spirit right now. Don't stop until I come back. I felt just like Gideon. I went next to the organ, and I knelt down on the bench, or on the step, and I whispered in his ear, because he knew I was there to communicate, and the singing was still going. There was worship going on. I said, Pastor, would you like me to help you so that you can go to the altar and dedicate the elements? Now, he hadn't done it for a year and a half. It could be more. He bowed his head. And the tears are rolling out of my eyes because I am saying to the Lord, if I missed it, it's okay. If I missed the revelation, it's okay. He kept his head bowed for maybe a minute and a half. It seemed like an eternity. No, he says, Kim, he says, not tonight. And the tears roll out of my eyes. I went back down to sit down. Have you ever had a joy and a sadness at the same time? It is so absolutely strange that God could give you a revelation that was so deep and so on target. And when I sat down, I couldn't stop crying. Because I wanted him to go up there. I wanted Father God to give him a boost. I wanted to be wrong. Did you ever want to be wrong? Yeah. But you knew that you knew that you knew that it was him that spoke to you. Some of you have had revelation knowledge already. And you've walked away just like Jonah. And today you have been provided with provision to change whatever you need to change. And the grace is there and the favor is there to carry it out. Whatever mistake you've made, whatever vows you've made to yourself because you didn't like certain things. How many sometimes really get an irritation when you learn something about yourself and you don't like it? Put your hand up right now. See, you need to know we're all the same. We're all related. Okay? And we need to have that time. And that's what Passover is for. It's to pass over the old. and to walk into the new. This grace period, it was provided for you and for me, so that we can go higher with God. Okay? Maybe you ain't got the big fish, but I'm that big fish letting you know. It's okay to have made a mistake. But it's not okay to still live in the mistake. You understand? Roughly 6 months later, Jesus took Gino home. And it was very difficult, because he never did go back to that altar. And you know what? I wanted him up there. I wanted him up there because miracles happened. Miracles happened to that man. He was a carrier of the anointing of the Most High God. That's what he was. He was a spiritual father to me. He drove me nuts sometimes. He irritated me. But you know what? He got me to go from A to B. And from B to C. And from C to E. Do you understand? And I know that I'm sometimes that way to you. I know that. I can be your biggest friend, but I can also be your biggest irritation. Come on, Judy, say amen.
Notice I had my eyes closed and I was trying to be inconspicuous.
See, that's why she's my sister and I know her like a book. She can't get away from anything. I'll even sometimes shake her tree. Like, I believe Gino shook mine. What am I saying to you? Head knowledge is wonderful. It's so comfortable. It is so wonderful. It feels so good. It'll give you Holy Ghost goosebumps. But you know what? You can't live on those goosebumps. Today, my prayer is that you go from information to revelation. That you will cry out to God, what do you want from me? How much higher can I go? With him, the stars are the limit. There's no end to his ability to pick you up and to carry you. But with education, all you're going to do is lift yourself up till the next book comes along. And I'm not against books. I've seen times where God used a book to change me. But you know what? Those were rare. It's God's Holy Spirit that changed me. And that's my prayer. That God's Holy Spirit will so impact you during this Passover feast that you'll pass from information to revelation.
Amen.
So would you bow your head right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I already made a decision. I am going to focus on the tree of life. His name is Jesus. He has revelation.
Hidden inside of me.
Ready to blossom.
If
I will only focus on him. If I focus on my problems. And get educated. It's up to me. He'll respect whatever decision I make. But I short circuit his plan. His will. For me. So give me grace, Lord.
Give me courage.
To stand on the revelation I've already been given. And yes, it's okay to test it out. Because if it's of God, it will be confirmed. Just like you did. When this word came. God confirmed what he didn't want to know. What he didn't want to hear. And maybe that'll happen to me. And it's okay. And if I make a mistake, God will make provision. to get me back on target.
To get me back on target.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray, man.
Amen.
I questioned the Lord this morning about a couple of scriptures, so I'm going to take you there right now. By the way, I closed the lights because I didn't want you to see my tears. So much for you that don't want to...
Since we have spiritual sight.
Yeah, well, praise God. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. You know, I think we underestimate how much our God loves us. And when we catch on that He loves us to this degree, that which was prepared for us to go forward with, it is absolutely unbelievable how much He wants us to be changed. He wants us to go from one level to the next level to the next level of revelation. I believe that's what He did with Jesus. I believe that when Jesus went into the water to be baptized, He found out and it was confirmed He was the Messiah. God was very proud of him. The Amplified says, "See what an incredible amplification quality of love the Father has given, shown and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, and acknowledge us is that it does not know and recognize and acknowledge Him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like Him, for we shall see Him just as He really is. And everyone who has this hope resting on Him cleanses, purifies himself just as He is pure, chaste, and undefiled, and guiltless. Everyone who commits and practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is. Lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's laws by transgression and neglect, being unrestrained, unregulated by His commands and His will. You know that He appeared in visible form and became man to take away sins. And in Him there is no sin, essentially and forever. No one who abides in Him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to Him, deliberately and knowingly, habitually commits and practices sin. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known Him, recognized, perceives, or understood Him, or has had an experimental acquaintance with Him. It's got to be experienced. It's got to be a life experience. It's got to be something that's solid. And so what am I saying to you today? You're His sons. You're His daughters. You may not comprehend the fullness of what you go through. That's where trust comes in. And that's when you learn, oh my God, He's changing me. He's manifesting himself in me to a deeper degree. And I can experientially learn by my mistakes. Mistakes are made by human beings. Take confidence. If anybody can make it, you can. If Peter could make it, so can you. If James, John, Paul, any one of the disciples, if they could do it, so can you. And you know, they questioned every step of the way. I'm letting you know how I questioned. I'm sharing with you how I questioned even what I heard. And the reason I believe that when God says to you, write it down, it's so that you can go back and figure out, oh my God, he did really tell me this, because there it is, it's written. Yesterday, I am questioning something about God that, you know, he's brought. And he said, I already gave it to you February 23rd. Guess what? Don't remember what he told me February 23rd. So I went back into my notes, dug out my pad. There it is, February 23rd. Oh my God, that's what he told me. Oh wow, this is good news. Oh wow, that's the day he gave me this information. Ooh, thank you, Lord. What if I didn't write it down? What if I said, I ain't that important?
You would have questioned whether he really said it.
Exactly. And that's how that tree of knowledge of good and evil works on you. But you know what I told him? Look at this. It's written. Mm-hmm. Who wrote it? He had me write it. But it was his spirit that gave me the word. And he gave me a scripture. I wrote that down. I gave it to you guys last night. Why? Because that was his instruction. He doesn't waste anything. What he did to you 2 months ago, a year ago, whatever he did because he had a plan. And it's going to unfold. How many of you have kids? Do they grow up? Mm-hmm. Do they drive you nuts?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Thank you. You're normal. God has his kids. Do we drive him nuts? Sometimes. Yes. Because we like to do it our way. Okay? I've talked enough. Who's got an addition? Where revelation brought you through. Just bow your head. Just pray in the Spirit. The Lord Jesus, show me where revelation changed the path that I walked on. As soon as you get a response, let me know. About the little cassette tape that caused us to move.
I don't remember anything like that.
You don't need to. Come on. You remember what you were doing in that bedroom? You were told us you were cleaning.
Oh.
Chuck had gone home.
Yeah.
It had been 6-7 months.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just going through things in the room, and I came across some tapes, and one of the tapes said that it was a prophecy, I think it said on it, or something from Chuck, which, as far as I know, it's the only one he ever did, that he ever taped. And I've thought of that often, It seemed like maybe I told him to do it. That I can't remember. But anyways, I listened to it, and I brought it into Kim. I said, maybe you
want to... But the dream, it was a dream that he had had, and he recorded it, and it was in 1992.
Right. And the dream was... We were in a car, and we were driving. He didn't know if it was a Memorial Drive or one of the other streets anyway.
Yeah.
And the car went into a ditch or something. And anyways, it was next to a place where...
We needed oil.
I don't remember it.
I do. I have it written down, but that's not the important part.
Oh.
By her giving me that cassette tape, because she says, Kim, I think this has something to do with us. Mm-hmm. She had no clue. Mm-hmm. I had already seen this building several months before. And it described this building to a T.
Yep.
So we moved because of Chuck.
They had the Patriots, the three-cornered hat
yes.
at that time they had.
Yeah.
Had a lot of things.
So because of this girl obeying the House of Prayer, moved where it needed to be, in Chicopee.
Thank you, Lord. It also had Diana.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, Diana had just gone home to be with the Lord. We had had a funeral with her family up in, forgot the name of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Cheshire? No.
Chester?
I don't remember the name.
Probably.
Anyway, small town in the Berkshires. And this cassette was found. And it was, I mean, in the cassette, in the dream, there's only four people. There's Chuck, her husband, who's with Jesus.
Right.
This lady named Diana, who used to be a part of the ministry at Grace, myself, and her. So just four people. But that's what the tool that had been prepared in 1992 to move us into this building in 2006. So.
Yeah. He died in 2006.
Yeah, so we...
Yeah.
We moved here at the end of 2006.
Yeah.
But she never found the cassette.
Right.
Until that time, when we needed it.
And it showed Chuck and Diana praying for the two of us.
Yeah.
And now that's what they're doing together.
So it showed them, because they were on the other side, and I ended up saying to Chuck, well, now you got to pray for me and her. So you see God's coordinates? You say, well, what if he didn't record it? What if he didn't do it? What if he didn't write it down? Well, she wrote it down for me, because I do have it. But I think the most important part that I'm trying to give you is revelation. It came by revelation. It didn't come by head knowledge. Sometimes you might be cleaning out an old drawer, find something that God has prepared, and he'll use it to change you and to change a whole lot of other people.
And I had no idea you were thinking of moving from
the... No, because I hadn't said anything.
No.
But we were having problems in the other place because the heat was not right. Carbon dioxide was being released into the hallway right next to us, and I didn't want to be subjecting people to that. And we had already spoken to the owner, and there was no way we could get them to listen to what the conditions were. And but God had a different plan.
Amen.
Anyone else? Gail?
Two, but I've said an awful lot.
Huh?
I've said an awful lot in the last 2 days, but Lord did show me something.
Good. Would you obey? Please? You know, how many know that you're getting something when Linda speaks? Not just my mouth. Every member of the body of Christ has something to give.
This is what the Lord showed me. Back in 1989, I went through a massive breakdown. I knew nothing. I didn't even know what was happening to me at all. And during the course of this breakdown, this is what God used, my spirit was very sick. Very, very sick. And it was sick from the lack of God, obviously. And it was also sick because I was not aware of sin. I wasn't aware of the sin in me. I wasn't aware of what it had done. And all I can remember is I go to bed at night and with a sense that that's it. I'm not going to wake up in the morning. My spirit was so sick that I felt like I was dying. Well, literally my spirit was. But I felt like I was not going to be able to wake up. And I went through this for several nights. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd lay there and I'd think, this is strange. I wonder why I'm awake. But I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to my husband at all because I knew that he would put me away in the loony bin. You know, that's not what you say. Okay. So after several nights, God kept manifesting his strength. And I didn't get it till finally one morning I woke up and I said, something else is going on here. And as I lay there and pondered, I got the revelation. God was keeping me alive. And I laid there, and the magnitude of that, for somebody that I had a lot of self-condemnation and a lot of self-hatred, really big, from a real difficult upbringing. And I laid there and I thought, God is keeping me alive? And as it began to unfold it, the reality finally hit me that God loved me enough. And that was what I was to get. That God loved me enough to keep me alive, that I could walk in a new place. That changed the whole direction, because as the awareness, and as I pondered in that during the day, as that awareness came in and I knew it was God, that was a turning. I turned a corner. And I was very, very hard place to turn, because by this time I'm on all the drugs that the psychiatrists give you and all that kind of stuff, which made me deathly ill. And I had to give them up because they made me so sick. And that was, again, I've got this revelation that God loves me and has kept me alive. So I called back the doctor and I said, I'm not taking your medicine. He insisted I had to. And I said, you either tell me how to get off the medicine or I'll do it myself. I'm not taking it. So they did. She gave me the instructions. I had to ease off of it for 6 weeks. Never looked back at that. That's a strange thing. I never looked back at that. But it was the manifestation of the reality that God loved this little tiny speck on the earth, me, out of the billions of people, enough to keep me alive and reveal his love for me. And it caused a drastic change in my life and the way I looked. It has been a hard walk, but that was the revelation. Who's next?
Go ahead.
I don't know what year. It's probably in the 80s. We were going to a home prayer meeting, and at one point, Chuck and I both got the word that we were going to be taken out of there, but not, we didn't know when. So Shirley had come to this prayer meeting. I didn't know her. In fact, I knew her niece, and her niece asked me if she didn't have a ride home, would I give her a ride home? So I gave her a ride home, left her off, and the next day, I had to go to the bank, and I'm at the bank, and the Lord says, don't go home, go see Shirley. And I'm thinking, I just met her last night, you know. But so I said, okay, so I went, and she lived in Willimantic, and where I left her off, I'm looking at the house. I didn't know, because it was a three-story thing. I didn't know where she lived. So I said, Lord, I don't even know where she is, but there is that underpass where they park cars. So I said, all right, I'll go park the car over there and walk over and see. So there was one car in the parking lot. So I pull up next to the car. Shirley's sitting in the car crying. So I got out of the car, and I started talking to her and trying to minister to her. And she was really in bad shape spiritually. So I said, I have to go back. It was, I think, a Good Friday. Denise and Charles had asked us to go to a service, the Good Friday service at Grace Church. So we had gone. We thought, that was beautiful, but that was the end of it. So I'm talking to her, and I says, you know, I says, I think you need more than me. I think you need to go to a service. And there's one I know at Grace Church at noontime. Why don't we go there now? So we did. We went to the service, and she was, I think Pastor Gino gave her words, and she was really comforted by all that was done. And that was how we started to go to Grace Church. But we didn't go immediately because the Lord had told us to wait. And we had to wait until he released us from the other place. But then we started going to Grace Church. And it ended up, God made a bond between us so that she was living with her friend who died of cancer. She had nowhere to go, so she came to live with us. And she stayed with us for a while. And then she went to Westfield, and she was living there afterwards. But that's how God works. But I knew I had to go see her instead of going home from that bank. And I had no idea because I hardly knew her. But that's how God works. So. Anybody else? No?
You sure you ain't got something?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I know you were waiting and I thought.
Go ahead.
Okay, just you want to talk about me, what happened to me in my life, or so much?
Go for it.
Okay, what God decided to do with me a long time ago, but anyway, we start with the River of Life was the Pentecostal church, and I went there for 7 years. And before this happened to me, I knew Kim because he's my he's a brother of my brother-in-law. He was praying for me before, but that's what happened with God when he started to use people, you know. So anyway, I always loved God, but the way I know God today, it's a big different way. And what he was talking this morning too, you know, I don't have any education. I got fourth grade, even when sometimes the teacher wasn't even in school. So I learned, you know, to speak with God and read. And I didn't know how to read in English. So I said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to read because I don't know. If you want to use me, so I have to know how to read in English. So I started little by little, and I was laughed at, and I was like just what happening last weekend too. It hurt me so much because I know I have the accent, and I know, so I said, well, I speak in English, but maybe not enough to people understand what I'm saying, you know, because maybe I was shy or that or whatever it is, you know, and I always have an excuse for myself, you know, well, what it's about my accent, you know, and all this. So finally, I said, God told me the last Saturday, he said, don't use that anymore, you know, in one way, you know. You have the accent, they will hear you anyway. So when I started to open my mouth, so the accent was there. But anyway, so always try to find something like a how you say the word there, like an excuse. Something like that, you know, to put my, like I'm shy of this, you know, when I'm speaking. So anyway, so we went for 7 years to a River of Life, they called it, and went there. And after that, God asked me to study a ministry at my home, you know, in my house, so a Bible study. But I was not sure, and I was calling Kim and talking with him. He said, let God speak to you. Not the man, but let God speak to you. So I did. And he gave me so many dreams and vision and all this, but I want to make sure I want to please God, not the man, and myself. So finally, I got that dream, and it came to pass, you know. And I did exactly have the letter signed and be released from the River of Life church. And I did be obedient, you know. But after that, when I went home, I said, okay, now, is it me, God, again? You know, we always question ourselves, you know, for what happened, you know. So I said, okay. So I said, it's not me, but it's you. But anyway, we start slowly, and after that, we start to have people to come to the house. My brother and my brother and my sister-in-law start to come, you know, and other people. And God sent me people. I didn't go to people or just doing my work and give the word. And so people start to come. Sometimes we get, 7, 8, 12. That depends, you know, what God's going to do. But it's really God's will because the tape you gave me, the CD there from John Paul Jackson, he was talking about, you know, what's happening right now we see in the world. And about 10 minutes before this finish, I see myself and what God was speaking to me. And I know I am in the right path, you know, what I'm doing. And so we're going to keep obey God. But I always, you know, give the word of God everywhere I work, because my work, you know, to do with missionary work, build chimney fireplace, whatever it is, stone work. And so got to use my mouth and I speak to people, you know, it just happened. And sometimes I say somewhere, you know, and it's not even me. And I say, where I can get this? Because sometimes me and my English, you know, where I get this word? Because they come out so beautiful like music. I said, that's not me. So I feel that, you know. So I thank God, because what is showing me is so, it's so there. It's like I see you. And I used to sometimes have pride of that, because, you know, I said, wow, this, I can't imagine, you know, but it's so strong. And God is really speaking, you know, and it's like I told Kim about 4 years ago, God took me, like Paul said in the Bible, you know, he took me in Turkey. And what you saw in Turkey about 4 years, 4 and a half, you know, with the rubble, you know, the earthquake they have there. Day and a half before this happened, I told that to my wife. I said, I saw all this, you know, all the color, exactly word for word, I told her. And even the pastor of my church when I was going in River of Life. So I told that to the people, but I didn't understand. But God just told me, he said, just watch and observe. He didn't ask me to pray. Just watch and observe. So, and he threw me in the water. And he said, now I want you to swim to the shore and watch and observe. So I did. And he was talking to me all the time. But I can't remember what the word was saying, but I know he was talking to me all the time. And everything is sealed, I'm sure, for the time, purpose time. And after that, I went to work. And usually when I came home, I just sit, you know, and watch and wait for I have dinner. And God, he said, turn on the television. So I turn on the television, exactly right there. And I called her. She was in the bathroom. I said, come here. And I said, come watch that. Exactly what I told her, the color and all the people with the orange suit to get the people stuck underneath the rubble and all this. So she saw that. And I said, that only God can speak like that. So even when I get back to the church the day after, the next day, that was on Wednesday night. So they come get me, grab me by the arm. He said, wow. So I didn't know what I have in me anyway. I didn't know what God was using me, because I didn't know the gift. You know, God gave us gift, but I didn't know that. So I didn't try to pretend this was just what I saw on television, but I didn't know that. So that's what I said to reveal to me, you know, God is talking. And it's very clear. And when God speaks, he speaks. And so sometimes I say, is it me or God, you know? But thank, you know, God again, what he gave my brother Kim. Because I need help here to understand what God is using me. Because sometimes I didn't understand that. But now I start to understand more and more. And sometimes God, we went some place, you know, how you call that, some meeting, you know, it was a speaker. And he was talking about prophecy and all this. But just the night before I fall to sleep, and God just said, it's going to be a birthday cake with was green color and blue, but no candle. Okay, so fall asleep. In the morning, 9:30, for this guy, was 10 years of his ministry, exactly the cake was coming, and no candle, but exactly the color and all, what he showed me. So he's very clear, you know. I know he started to speak to us like that to make us progress and make us to understand what he's trying to telling us, you know. And that's pretty clear. It's like this last night, I said, well, maybe it's me, I don't know, I'm doing that, but this morning is very clear. So I give Pastor Kim a white sheet of paper, nothing right in it, but you can even look at the paper, it was so bright. So I don't know why, but it's so bright, it's just like the light of God on the paper, but you can't even read nothing, and can't even stay to the paper, I mean, stay, how you can say, keep your eyes focusing on the paper, because it's too bright. The paper, the sheet of paper is too bright, so I don't know why. So that's what I saw last night. I said, wow, it's very bright, nothing is right. But to know God can use, like you say, use a donkey to speak, but he uses us, like me, with no education, but I got his direction. So that's what I want to obey, to do his will. And I know it gets more in the future, but at first he had to break me, to make me understand who I am, and remove all the pride, you know, and all the stubbornness, and he did. Because what he did with my life, wow. If he used me, because I was a very special person, you know. Very hard head and very very tough, because I was raised tough. And about love, not much about that, but I had the love of God. I knew God for all my life, this I know that. But the way I know Him now, and the way He did with me and changed me, only God can do that.
Amen.
And to put us together like that for 36 years, pretty soon, we are together. And God was, I guess, I was tough for her, but that's a blessing of God to keep us together to what He did with us. Because she was not always, like they call that, a blessing for her, because I was, you know, very tough guy. But only God can touch the life like this, you know, to change me, to her to be able, you know, to stay with me so many years like that. So only God can do that again, you know. Because I was very, very special. Her, she was full of love, and me, full of pride and
anger.
Tough guy, anger and tough guy. Tough person.
He's talked enough about you. Why don't you tell us about him?
Yeah.
Yes, she was not a piece of cake.
Maybe I would. That's why no candle on it.
That's right. That's right. Excuse my glasses, but I have to wear this helmet medication. I can't be in bright light, so that's a different story. But, used to drink a lot, and I was not used to that. I was used, my parents, they were very soft-spoken, and I was not used to his temper, and really bad temper, and a lot of emotional abuse. I was not used to that. That hurts as much as physical abuse, even more, because it stays in you, and was not used to, you know, tell him what was wrong, because he was so always angry, and I was afraid of him, because his dad was, you know, drinking and beating his mom, and you know, I was afraid if I would say something wrong. So, wow, you know, and I had two daughters, but I mean, so many times as I can't stay with him, I can't live with that. I can't. There's just something has to change, and I would say about 7 years when we started to go to that church. Bear of life there, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he started to change. Even my girls were afraid of him, but he started to change, and even my daughters, you know, our daughters realizes, wow, Dad is changing. I said, yeah, he is, you know, and it was always, sometimes you want to do something with Gaston, my brother-in-law, Gaston, and you want to do something, we're going to, no, I don't like it, and we're not going. Never consulted me. It was always him. Always him. Never, you know, says, you know, never asked me, would you like to go on this? Says, no, so I don't like it. I said, so I went in my room and I cried. I could never talk and to him. And because, like I said, I was scared of him. But I thank God every day that he changed from, my gosh, 90 degrees. And
you mean he's got 10% more to go?
That's right. Not bad, huh? Not bad, huh?
Getting there.
That's good. But I said, thank God every day that now he's so gentle, and he, you know, we take decisions together now. Before it was just him. But now we consult, and if I have something on my mind, before I couldn't. And it took me a lot of years to be able to open my heart and talk to him, you know. But I says, what do you think about that now? And you know, that's not just his decision. It's our decision now. So I thank God.
I pray for that.
So sometimes they'll say, I should have never told Julia, open up, or, you know, says, now you're too much open. You open, you, and you talk too much now.
Yeah, I talk less and she talk more than me.
Now, maybe not. I think he still talks more than me.
You know, like they say, a happy woman is a happy man.
I'm just to thank God every day that he changed, you know, like I said. I couldn't live like that anymore. It was not fun time, but now it's nice.
It's beautiful.
It's
right?
Beautiful now. So. Thank you very
but
much.
But you have to really want it to change, right?
That's it.
To
surrender
all of this.
Yeah.
Because it don't come just in one day and one night.
Mm-mm.
But you know, when you were born with this, but you know what I what I asked God, even before we come to this, I come to this point to change. I said, God, I don't want to use my wife the way my father used us. Because what's that? But I forgive my father because he was full of love, but he didn't know better.
He was raised like that too.
So. Yeah.
That's the thing. You had to break that but, vicious cycle, you know?
You know, when you forgive, it's so beautiful. Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. But my even before he died, my sister didn't want to forgive him, and he was on his bed. He had bone cancer. He was suffering and burning. He said, I burn where I sin. And I told my sister, I said, forgive him so he can't go home freely. And I didn't know about Christianity, whatever they have, religion, because I was not a religious in one way, because I didn't like to go to church, no time to lose there. And so, but I know God. I know when I speak to him. I didn't speak with a man because I couldn't trust a man or a woman because that's the way we were raised. But I know God was there, and so I said, forgive him so he can go in peace. And they did, but it was hard for them because we were big too, you know, and not easy. But he didn't know that, so. And as soon as they forgive him, we left because she was tired, and we go home. The phone ring, 2 hours of that, he was gone. And so everybody feel free after that. But we owe something against people. It's not good because no matter what, we have to ask forgiveness for that person. Because I know when Leda was working with her, for around her house, and she said, I dream of my husband every night. I couldn't even have a rest because I dream about him. And I said, did you forgive your husband? Because God was speaking to me when she was asking me that. So I said, you want me to pray with you? She said, yes, because she knew I was Christian, you know. And she said, yes, I'd like you to pray for me. So I said, let's pray together. But the thing, what God is telling me, you didn't forgive your husband because what he was doing, you never forgive him. But now you have to ask God to forgive you because he didn't forgive you, your husband. And because he was doing adultery and she was seeing her husband with women all the time in a dream, you know, have sex and all this. So, and she said, I cannot accept that and I cannot sleep because I see him every night. So we start to pray together. And so we pray and ask forgiveness and all this. So the 2 days after that, I went back to finish the job. She said, you know, Claude, I never have any more dreams. Because she has forgiven, I've got to forgive her. So we have to forgive the person, even if they did something wrong. Ask them to forgive. You know, we have to forgive them before they go, because no matter what, we're going to have to ask God to forgive us because we didn't forgive our neighbor or even one in the family. And, you know, when we forgive, we have that peace and that love. And that comes from Jesus. And so many, they have that dream. And after that, now I know when I said, did you forgive? No. That's why that person will come around, even in the spirit, you know. You need to pray for that soul to be released. And after that, they said, never come back. Because it will release. And see, it's not us, it's God's will. But he speak to us, and we have, like Kim said, we have to take time to listen when he speak to our heart. And I know you know that. But when you speak, you know, it's very clear. And that's why I'm looking always to see my internet with him. But before, you know, I didn't know where to go because, like she said, I was raised this way. And I was stubborn and I'm going to do it my way because that's the way I was, working hard and do it my way. Because I couldn't trust anyone around me because, of, you know, the way we were raised. But God changed that. Because I give him the permission to change it. And I thank God for that. So thank you very much. I got so much to say.
See, I told you. Oh, I want to back up a little bit. When the pastor that we were with 7 or 8 years, before everything started, that I saw her picture in the paper. I said, there's a speaker in town. She's in the tent and everything. I said, do you want to go and listen to her? I said, I know her a little bit because I was a nurse's assistant for home health, and I used to take care of her mother, and she came that weekend, and we had a little bit of conversation about God, and she gave me a couple of booklets, so I said, maybe we should go and listen, you know. He said, no, he said, you go and listen, and said, when you come back, he said, you let me know. So finally, he came, and after that, it was, so it's probably my fault, like, Kim always says my fault. So.
But, what happened? They're standing in the tent because they didn't have any building.
No, and they were, she was standing in town.
And outside in the cornfield.
Yeah.
So anyway, we sit out back. That's fine. I watch you gang a Lulu there to have your fun. Anyway, and that was Timothy Sherman?
Yes.
So he was the preacher there that night, was a speaker. So I was sitting in my back chair, that's it. I have my day, that's it. But just to make her happy. So I went. But when it was time, was calling people to come up front, I didn't want to go there. Because I saw people, I said, somebody falling there. I said, what?
Somebody paid them or,
No, I didn't say anything like that, but somebody was saying that anyway. But I didn't say, I didn't think about it, but anyway. So I was sitting in the back chair, and after that, the Holy Spirit just moved me. And somebody picked me up behind me, underneath my arm, and where does this come from, So I didn't want to go there. So that's the way it's starting, But, God is always touching us from other people too. And after that, we have other direction for us, but they have to be obedient. And so that's what I'm learning right now. And I know it's got more in the future. And so the thing is to be obedient to Him. So that's why I want to do His will, not mine, but His will. I know sometimes it's not always fun, but that's okay. I'll go through. Because we're not alone.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
I told you.